Phoenix FM. Right, joining me in the studio is a friend to the station. He's been in the studio quite a few times. He's not here with the rest of the band today. He is here on his own because he's come in to talk about a musical, which we were talking about a couple of months ago now. It's Gordon Kenny from The Incredible Hulk, the band that first came in, and you were doing loads of music for us. You've played live in the studio before with Richie I've forgotten the lady's name.
Linda Hall.
Linda, who's lovely, who came to see one of my gigs.
And
actually,
that was Purple Yellow Days.
Yes! Incredible Hulk is the band that you started off with in the, was it 60s, 70s?
It's 1970.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's a handsome man. You would never think you've been around for that long. And I see you smiling. Now, we're going to kick off because we're talking about Profumo. Now, when you came in to see me before, this was probably about, I'd say about 6-7 months ago, you had everything there. You had all the songs, you had the album,
yes.
And you were going to be putting on the production. Now, this is actually going ahead on the 28th to the 31st of August. So tell everybody about the musical Profumo, about when you first sort of like started getting the songs together, and also just a general idea, and tell people the background story, because if they're not aware of it, it's a very, very famous political story from about the late 1960s, I believe, isn't it? 60s?
63,
yep.
June 63.
Early 60, yep.
It was a Profumo affair. My generation would have heard of it because it was shocking. It was early 60s. We still had a colonial presence in government. Harold Macmillan, the Tory Prime Minister, was a Puritan. Working class people didn't have television.
Yep.
But it was beginning, and global press, and also the contraceptive pill came in 62 for married women, and then 63 it became for all women. So the world was changing. The West was changing.
You can't imagine what it was for being a woman in this day and age. If you go back to then, it was complete. I mean, you were single, you couldn't get the pill. It wasn't introduced until later on, so
62.
You had to be married, you couldn't live with somebody, you couldn't have children out of wedlock. It was completely, it would be scandalous, absolutely scandalous.
You'd have to move. I lived in a small village in Hampshire, West Ham, moved to West Ham in London, that's another story. But yeah, if you were a divorcee, it was something to be ashamed of, you kept it quiet.
Yep.
Mandy Rice Davies, one of the girls in the Profumo affair, she left her home partly because she couldn't live with the guilt her divorced parents were carrying.
Yeah.
But, and of course we still had hanging.
Yeah.
Still had hanging. And the class distinction, which we still have, was much more clearer, it's more defined.
Yeah.
So you had the Macmillan government, Tory government in charge. The Labour hadn't made their waves with Wilson till later, Harold Wilson. So we lived in quite a strict society in many ways. What happened in July 61, the war minister, possible future prime minister, John Profumo, who was married to a beautiful female actress, Valerie Hobson, who was an icon at the time, starred of Olivier, starred in with lots of films, Bride of Frankenstein, things like that. She was a beautiful, stereotypical middle-class actress, beautiful. He started an affair with a young 19-year-old girl called Christine Keeler, who grew up in a converted railway carriage. Left home at an early age, at 17, to go to the West End. And she joined up with Mandy Rice Davies, and they worked for a man who described himself as a Pygmalion. He was a London osteopath. He worked with Winston Churchill, lots of Elizabeth Taylor, lots of famous people. He was also a very talented artist. But their meeting point was a club called the Murray Club in the West End. And that was frequented by even Princess Margaret of the Royal Family, lots of famous people at the time. Profumo affair with Keeler only lasted 5-6 weeks. But it was exposed in 1963. In June 1963, which is why it is now the 50th anniversary. And that caused shockwaves throughout the West. Because I was brought up to believe that professional people, that politicians were beyond criticism.
Yeah.
You know, my generation, you never questioned the government or the royal family or any authoritarian institution, never questioned them. So it did cause shockwaves throughout the West, and of course then we got global press. It was all over the world. It even led to Kennedy being questioned in the White House.
Yep.
And also involved in this was an alleged Russian spy called Eugene Ivanov, who also was having an affair with Keeler.
Yeah.
Actually only slept with her once. He was a married man. But so there was lots of spy things got involved as well, that they believe Ivanov was trying to find out if the West was going to rearm Germany with weapons. And so it's all very complicated. But Fumo the Musical, which is opening in Waterloo East Theatre on the 28th for five performances, two on the Saturday, it takes a different look at it. It's almost like a fairy tale version of it. It doesn't. It's not like a boring political documentary. It concerns itself with how human beings behave when they lose their feelings of love. So yeah. you wouldn't cheat your friend if you're buying a second-hand car off him. You wouldn't start a war with another country if you felt love towards them. So this, to me, it does show that how humans behave, how they think, when you take that four-letter word out of the equation. So, yeah, it'd be lovely. And it's a good night out. You don't have to understand politics to see it.
And is it got a lot of humour in it as well? Humorous, and you've got songs, which we're going to come on to, because we're going to play three songs from this. So the first one we're going to play, and we'll talk more after this, is called Well Do You. What am I saying again? I put Well Do You. Will Do You.
Yes,
explain what this is. See, I'll get it right. I can't even read properly, Kenny. You know what I'm like.
Well, tell us what. Lots of EastEnders will know that the Cray twins were involved. There's it's anecdotal. They believe that Harold Wilson, who wanted to gain power with the Labour Party, and Barbara Wilson helped bring the affair out with the assistance of the Crays. This is when the girls come into the West End of London, relatively innocent in this story. They lose their innocence in the Murray Club, but their party is interrupted by the Crays.
Yep.
And they sing this song together.
Here we go.
Duet.
I am Ronnie, I am Reggie, we're an undertown. We are the kings of the underworld, and we can bring you down. And we can be very, very nasty. We'll mess up your kid's birthday party. If we think that you don't like us, this is what we'll do. We got friends in very high places. We can scare them too. Boom. We know all their naughty secrets. We can do them too. And if we think they've ever crossed us, we will flush them down the loo. We can make them scream for mercy. This is what we'll do. We'll do you. We'll do you. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We will do you.
Earth, summer, and sun.
Now, are you singing? Now, what part are you playing? Are you actually playing a part in this yourself? Because you are an actor.
No, I'm not.
Because I was going to say, because if people, you won't know, I'm going to tell you now, but you actually studied acting, but later in life you went to do study in acting, so it just proves that you can do anything you want. That's what I always think when I see you. That's what I think. You started off as a musician, you're now an actor, you're a director, you've written all the songs as well, and you've put this whole performance together. How many people have you got in the cast that you've actually, sorted out?
10, and we got a wonderful production crew led by a lady called Debbie Elias and her assistant Brett, and they've really taken the show over for me.
Yeah,
I'd gone as far as I could, and there's a wonderful team. There really is. We've got actors. Michael Howe, he's quite well known. He was in Hollyoaks and lots of things on the telly. He was in Chess and 42nd Street. He's got a very impressive CV, and he's a wonderful actor. He's playing Stephen Ward. It even looks like him.
Yeah.
And we got guys who were in The Lion King, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful, really West End standard.
And is it a lot of dancing as well as singing, or not so much on the...
There is lots of dancing.
Yep.
It's not sung through like most musicals. They don't have spoken word dialogue. This is a musical play, so you've got songs, you've got spoken dialogue. Yes, there's a lot. There's 19 songs in the show, and I would say 17 of them have full dance.
Yep.
17 of the songs. I can't dance myself, but...
You must be getting really nervous. It's at the Waterloo. Where is Waterloo East, by the way? Because it doesn't say on the... Can't see it on the flyer.
It's in Waterloo.
Oh, I know you're going to say that. Just knew you were going to say
London.
That.
London. The nearest
tube. It's London, darling. London. Where is the nearest tube?
Well, you can go to Southwark.
Yeah.
Or London Bridge. And there is Waterloo East on... Mm-hmm. On the overhead, is it? On the overhead, yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be going from the 28th to the 31st.
And it's selling out. It really is.
I'm going to come. I can't come at the weekends because I've got gigs at the weekend. But I'm going to try and get down during not the gigs. Hear me tapping the page there. I must come down because I want to see how nervous you're going to be. Actually, the first night, what are you going to be doing on the first night besides sort of probably clawing at the walls? What do you think you're going to feel?
Well, I have not been to rehearsals. They're rehearsing over at Mill Hill.
Yeah.
Partly so that, because I'm very precious like most writers, and I don't want to interfere. You have to let the director, the choreographer, the designer have their own vision of what they see in this play. Well, I was very nervous just meeting the cast for the first time. So I think, yeah, I'll be nervous and excited, yeah.
Right, we're going to take a very short break. Just going to do some travel and some events. Then we're going to come back and we can play another track, which is called Put the Kettle On. And we're hearing about that one as well. You're right there, Kenny.
Yeah.
It's a bit hot in here, isn't it? I'll put the aircon on. He's starting to sweat already.
No, you mentioned the opening night.
Yeah, I won't mention it again. I'll keep quiet now. Right, we'll have some ads. I'll be back after this. The studio by Gordon Kenny. Very handsome, handsome man. Made you smile, didn't it? He's got really quiet. Don't do this to me. He's normally in here with his fake moustache and his accents and everything.
I can't take compliments.
What? Oh, he's gone red.
Yeah, I can't.
He's gone red. Have you seen? He's gone red. Hello.
I was handsome 40 years ago.
Oh, shut up. You're still handsome now. Right. It's all right. I do know, Kenny. It's fine. We're fine. Right now, as you were hearing earlier, Profumo the Musical is going to be at the Waterloo East Theatre. That's in London from the 28th to the 31st. Now, you've got everything set to go. You've written all the music. You've actually done all the script as well. But now you sort of like walk away and you leave it to the
production team.
Production team
taking
to do
it over. And they've plans to take it on tour or hopefully in the West End.
Excellent. So this is like the first initial short run. Then you'll get you do get like theatre critics coming in from the different newspapers to give it a review and then see.
Press night is on the Thursday.
Yep. Excellent.
So I know we've got people coming from the Daily Mail, etc.
And then after that, is it a case of people investing in to actually take it? How does it work with theatre production and stuff?
Because it needs more investment.
Yep. And then you can go for obviously for a longer period of time. Could go over to America. Could go all over the world.
Well, the CD has sold three times more than it has in England. The Performing Arts Musical CD.
Yeah.
Which surprised us. Yeah, there's been a lot of interest in America in the CD. But we'll wait and see. I'm just glad to see it on because I started it 10 years ago writing it. But
and you can I just ask with right because you just go and do these things, Kenny. Gives hope to everybody out there. But you'd never written had you written a play or a production before, or you just sort of thought I'm going to do this and
no, I'd never written one. I did a diploma. I was in lots of number one musicals. You know, I did Clifton Musical in the West End. I toured in the Patsy Cline Musical.
Yeah,
with Sandy Kelly and George Hamilton IV. I toured. In Dusty the Musical with Mary Wilson and lots of others, you know. But that's where I learned about musicals, and I found a way that I feel they should appeal to the public and me as well. And I do believe that it's got to entertain first. You know, kids can go and see this version of Profumo. I'm sorry to disappoint all the men, but there is no nudity in this show, not by design. And I write intuitively, I don't plan. Same with the songs, I don't plan, I'm going to write it this. I just let it happen. And so children could see the show.
Yeah.
Because it deals, as I said, for me, with the absence of love in human beings. Michael Howe, by the way, is also playing Harold Wilson, mm-hmm. who's in our next song. There is evidence that they did help bring expose the Profumo affair so they could get the Labour Party in, which they did.
Yeah.
And the song you're going to play next, Put the Kettle On, is another vaudeville-type song.
Yep.
That, and it's Harold and Barbara celebrating, both a bit drunk, that the affair has come out in its headline news all over the world. And they're doing a little dance together.
Well, here we go. Let me get the right song on.
So let's Put the Kettle On from Profumo the Musical. Harold Wilson and Barbara Castle.
Now listen carefully, we must be strong. We'll act as if there's nothing going on. Cause soon the shit is gonna hit the fan, and everything will go as we have planned.
Stephen Ward is locked up in the clink, all good riddance. Keeler's on the run, that's what we think. Ward's friends have finally turned their backs on him, while Jack and Valerie are sipping gin. Put the kettle on, we'll have a cup of tea. The future's looking bright for you and me. We've got the filthy buggers on the run. Macmillan and his gang will soon be gone. Put the kettle on, we'll have a cup of tea. Cause soon the working classes will be free. When the press cry out for funerals in the run, the Tory party won't last very long.
Soon the press will know. So someone has to pay the price and it's will roll.
You are though.
Rackman and the Clays won't get their fee. We'll lock them up and throw away the key. We set them up, we lie, we're very naughty. Please understand, it's for national security.
Now, who was that singing there? Who was that man?
On the recording?
Yeah.
That was me doing a bad Yorkshire accent, but my father was a Yorkshireman, you see.
Aye.
I was breastfed on Geoffrey Boycott the cricketer.
Really? I'd never heard that story before.
Not literally.
Just had a vision.
But I do love
just
cricket, though. I'm not missing it.
Are you?
Yeah, I love cricket. But Barbara Castle, by the way, introduced the breathalyzer test.
Oh, right.
And the speed limit on the motorways.
I didn't know that.
She was a hell of a character.
Mm.
Feisty woman.
Now, where does this, where the Profumo, where does it actually go up to? Because does it go right up to, I mean, people will know the story. Does it, how far into the...
Yeah, it goes from 1961 when Keeler and... Profumo met, and it finishes July 63, and it does follow some of the fallout from the exposure of this scandal, they yeah. call it then. So, and then it ends with a reflective song about the whole show.
Yeah.
And it's up to the audience to just, it doesn't make any moral judgments, the play. It doesn't take a left wing or right wing side. It's up to the audience to decide.
Yeah. Excellent. Right, we're going to play another song from the, because we're coming up to nearly 12 o'clock, otherwise we'll lose it. Don't forget, if you want to go and see this, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. They're hoping for a longer run after this, once they've got all the critics to come in, but you can hear by the songs, it's going to be like a good night out. You've got a fantastic cast, you've got great songs. It's going to be at the Waterloo East Theatre, that's in London. You can get there at Waterloo, as you said, station, where I said, where's Waterloo East Theatre? And it is in Waterloo in London. Great night out. Box office is 0207 928 0061, and you can look at all the W's at water2east.co.uk as well for some tickets, and it's a Gordon Kenny production.
And they're only a tenner, the tickets.
That's really good. That's fantastic value for
and
a night out.
There's all kinds of music. It's eclectic. Yep. There's heavy rock. There's typical 80s musical power ballads in it.
Okay, right, we're going to have to play the song because it's going to get cut. It will get cut otherwise, and I don't want it to get cut, and I need to go up to the news. Let's have a look. The last song we're going to play for you from... Let me get to the microphone. Not doing very well today. I'm going to need to put my glasses on, Kenny. This song is called Order in the House.
And it's when Afumo lied in the Houses of Parliament.
Right, here we go. Thanks very much to Gordon Kenny. I'll be back with you later. And good luck with this as well. Thanks,
Kenny.
Thank
you very much.
Cheers.
Now how do you answer to the good press? These filthy allegations that you must redress. Here in the house today, that you have played away. So what do you have to say?
I'm a man of high morals and intellect, a gentleman scholar who commands respect. So how can you talk this way? Please let me have my say. Every dog must have his day.
Is at this say, so how can he explain his alleged foreplay with a call girl Keeler, by the way, seen rolling with a Russian in the air? So what does he have to say?